The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR Radio in Estherville and Paige Godden of the Indianola Record Herald. The first question will come from KILR's Ed.
Yes, go ahead.
My first question is to get your reaction to today's Supreme Court ruling that's a legalized gay marriage in all 50 states.
Well, of course, it was a very close decision, and I don't know the specifics yet because we're still studying the opinions of Kennedy and Roberts. Kennedy wrote the majority decision. Roberts wrote the minority opinion. In our society, everyone deserves to be treated with respect, but the sanctity of traditional marriage should be preserved. And you probably know that I believe in marriage between one man and one woman. I've stated that for a long time. Traditional marriage has been the foundation of our society for thousands of years. The reality of it is, when the Supreme Court makes a constitutional decision, whether you disagree or agree with it, it's the law of the land until it can be overturned. And I suppose I always felt that marriage best be left to the states. And you probably know that 40 years ago there was a Roe v. Wade case. So I think this case today is a cultural change that won't be settled by court case. There are strongly held views on both sides of this issue that should be heard and respected. I think we're going to be debating this issue for years to come. But I want to make everybody clear that when the Supreme Court makes a decision, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's the law of the land, and we have to respect that process, even if we disagree with it. It was a very close decision, which I think speaks for itself, and everyone anywhere in America, regardless of what they believe or how they live their private lives, everybody deserves to be treated with respect.
Paige?
Yes, thank you, Senator, for speaking with us this morning. What's your reaction on the Supreme Court decision handed out yesterday on the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, well, I did have a chance to study the dissent by Scalia, and he makes it very clear, and something I would agree with, that the Supreme Court is taking the place of the legislature. The Congress's decision was very clear, not only by the wording of the law, but those five words, if a state didn't establish a exchange of its own, then it wasn't entitled to the tax credit. But the court majority found a way to get around it by saying what the purpose of the overall law was, to cover more people. And I don't have any doubt about covering more people, and we are covering more people. Now, we in the Congress don't have to do anything now the way the court ruled, but I was prepared, if the court ruled in favor of King, that the tax credits should have continued till a time when we had an opportunity to make the necessary changes that needed to be made in Obamacare that would make it more market-oriented, keep the government out of the decisions between doctors and their patients, to do what the law was supposed to do in the first place. It hasn't done. Cut your premiums. The president said that. If you like your insurance, you can keep that. If you like your doctor, you can keep that. Keep the doctor. That's all turned out to be false. So I was looking forward to King winning. In turn, King winning, make sure that the people, through no fault of their own, didn't lose their tax credit. And then at a period of time when we had a new president to work to dramatically change Obamacare, because it's turned out to be a very bad program for health delivery in America. It remains a terrible law, and I guess I gave you three or four reasons why: the doctor you can't keep, the insurance you can't keep, the premiums have gone way up instead of going way down, all of these things.
Ed?
President Obama this week, the Obama administration indicated that they would allow American families to pay ransom for hostages, American hostages. How do you feel about that announcement?
I think it's going to encourage terrorists to take more American hostages, and that's one of their main sources of income to do their terrorist activities, and it's going to make a more dangerous environment for Americans traveling overseas.
Paige?
Yes, okay. The U.S. Senate approved legislation a couple of days ago, key to securing the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. What's your thought on the partnership, and what happens next with that?
Well, let me clarify something, and I can easily see why people get things confused between what we call TPA, Trade Promotion Authority, and then you mentioned TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is not what we're voting on. It isn't even a document yet that's finalized for us to vote on. In fact, Trade Promotion Authority is a step to get to whether or not Congress can even consider the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because this is the way the Constitution works. One of the 18 powers of Congress is the power of Congress to regulate interstate and foreign commerce. Well, since World War II, and we've had various trade agreements, I don't know the number. I don't know how many times Congress has actually asked the president to negotiate, because Congress, having this power over foreign commerce as a body of 535, can't negotiate with 11 other countries like the president can do. So for the last 70 years, we from time to time have given the president, requested him to negotiate congressional power, Congress's constitutional power on trade, because Congress can't, as an institution, that's a practical thing. So under strict guidelines, and Trade Promotion Authority has the strictest guidelines of any former authority that I know about, and then we pass that, the president negotiates, finalizes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and then when he signs it, it doesn't become law, because that isn't what the Constitution says. The Constitution says only Congress can regulate. So whatever he would finally negotiate would come to the Congress, and then at that point, maybe 6 months, maybe a year from now, we would be actually voting on the document that your question asks about, the Trade Trans-Pacific Partnership. And how we would vote at that particular time would be depending upon whether the president negotiated something that's good for American jobs or bad for American jobs. But one thing that I think causes the sort of conflict that your question implies is that everybody believes that this is a secret document that nobody's going to read. Well, you can't read a document that's not completed yet, and one of the requirements of the Trade Promotion Authority is that it's got to be put on the Internet 30 days before Congress can even vote on it. So it's no secret. Everybody's going to be able to, anybody in the world's going to be able to read it, and of course members of Congress have to read it. And then the question comes up, well, why the secret negotiations? Well, the secret negotiations are because the United States going to the bargaining table isn't going to tell the rest of the world and the other 11 countries what our negotiating position is. Just like nobody negotiating in let's say in America between union and management, nobody's going to tell you what your bottom line is, because it destroys your ability to negotiate. So that's how the process will work.
Thank you, Ed and Paige, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.